The argument of the next three chapters. As modernists, the socialists argued that socialism could be proved by evidence and rational analysis, and that once the evidence was in, socialism's moral and economic superiority to capitalism would be clear to anyone with an open mind. This is significant because, so conceived, socialism committed itself to a series of propositions that could be empirically, rationally, and scientifically scrutinized. The end result of that scrutiny provides another key to explaining postmodernism. Classical Marxist socialism made four major claims. First, capitalism is exploitative. The rich enslave the poor. It is brutally competitive domestically and imperialistic internationally. Second, socialism, by contrast, is humane and peaceful. People share, are equal, and cooperative. Third, capitalism is ultimately less productive than socialism. The rich get richer, the poor get poorer, and the ensuing class conflict will cause capitalism's collapse in the end. Fourth, socialist economies, by contrast, will be more productive and usher in a new era of prosperity. These propositions were first enunciated by socialists in the 19th century and repeated often into the 20th century before disaster struck. The disaster was that all four of socialism's claims were refuted both in theory and in practice. In theory, the free market economists have won the debate. Ludwig von Mises, Friedrich Hayek, and Milton Friedman have shown how markets are efficient, and they have shown, conversely, how socialist, top-down command economies necessarily must fail. Distinguished left-wing economists, such as Robert Heilbronner, have conceded in print that the debate is over and that the capitalists have won. In theory, the moral and political debate is more up for grabs, but the leading thesis is that some form of liberalism in the broadest sense is essential to protecting civil rights and civil society in general. And the liveliest debates are about whether a conservative version of liberalism, a libertarian one, or a modified welfarist one is best. Many leftists are repackaging themselves as more moderate communitarians, but that repackaging itself shows how far the debate has shifted toward liberalism. The empirical evidence has been much harder on socialism. Economically, in practice, the capitalist nations are increasingly productive and prosperous, with no end in sight. Not only are the rich getting fantastically richer, the poor in those countries are getting richer too. And by direct and brutal contrast, every socialist experiment has ended in dismal economic failure, from the Soviet Union and the Eastern Bloc to North Korea and Vietnam to Cuba, Ethiopia, and Mozambique. Morally and politically, in practice, every liberal capitalist country has a solid record for being humane, for by and large respecting rights and freedoms, and for making it possible for people to put together fruitful and meaningful lives. Socialist practice has time and time again proved itself more brutal than the worst dictatorships in history prior to the 20th century. Each socialist regime has collapsed into dictatorship and begun killing people on a huge scale. Each has produced dissident writers such as Alexander Solzhenitsyn and Nian Cheng, who have documented what those regimes are capable of. These points are well known, and I dwell upon them in order to project the depth of the crisis that this meant for left socialist intellectuals. By the 1950s, the crisis was being felt deeply. Instead of having collapsed in the Great Depression of the 1930s, as both the collectivist right and the left had hoped, the liberal capitalist countries had recovered after World War II, and by the 1950s were enjoying peace, liberty, and new levels of prosperity. World War II had wiped out the collectivist right, the National Socialists, and the fascists, leaving the left alone in the field against a triumphant and full of itself liberal capitalism. Yet while the liberal West's recovery and its rising political and economic prominence were distressing to the far left, intellectuals of the West, hope was still offered by the existence of the Soviet Union, the, quote, noble experiment, unquote, and to a lesser extent by communist China. Even that hope was brutally crushed in 1956. Before a worldwide audience, the Soviets sent tanks into Hungary to stifle demonstrations by students and workers, thus demonstrating just how strong was their commitment to humanity. And, more devastatingly, Nikita Khrushchev acknowledged publicly what many in the West had long charged, that Joseph Stalin's regime had slaughtered tens of millions of human beings, staggering numbers that made the National Socialist efforts seem amateurish by comparison.